This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
My beloved brothers, my sisters, the most important piece of advice that we should always be commencing the khutbah of Jumu'ah with is the reminder to develop what is known as taqwa. Ittaqullah. Be conscious of Allah. Develop the correct relationship with Allah. And fear the wrath, the punishment, the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We love Allah so much that we should be concerned about earning His anger or doing something that would spoil the relationship between us and Allah. Nonetheless, whenever we have faltered, whenever we have done something wrong, because we are human beings, Allah Almighty has favored us with one of His greatest favors, and that is the acceptance of repentance of a worshipper whenever the worshipper seeks that forgiveness and repents. That's one of the biggest favors of Allah. Think about it. If Allah were to punish us for all the bad that we've ever done, we would not be surviving today. But Allah says, my favor upon you, O son of Adam, because Adam alayhi salam himself had fallen, and Allah forgave him when Allah heard sincere words come from him. Those words were also taught by Allah. So my brothers and sisters, never lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Come what may, turn to Allah. Turn to Him every day. No matter what you've done, where you have been, Allah says, come back. Here is the path. Come back. Come back. You haven't been praying? Start praying. Turn to us. It will never be a point of regret for you and I to turn to our Maker, to purify ourselves, to become clean once again, to tread the correct path once again, to develop a better relationship with Allah once again. And if you have not been doing it from the beginning, here is the time. My brothers, my sisters, one of the greatest favors of this deen of Allah is that He puts it in our hearts to seek forgiveness. And that is why when you regret the sin that you have engaged in, it's a sign of the love of Allah for you. If a person does something wrong and they regret in their hearts, they feel ashamed, they feel saddened, they feel, why did I do this? I should not have done this. It's a sign of the love of Allah. When that feeling comes into your heart, remember one thing. Remember, use the opportunity immediately to say, Astaghfirullah, Rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilayki. I seek your forgiveness, O Allah, from all my sins, and I turn to you in repentance. Don't let a time go by. Don't let the moments pass. Once you have regret, seek the forgiveness of Allah immediately. And did you know on a Friday, there is a moment through the day within which any dua or supplication you make, Allah accepts it. We don't know the moment. But if you were to repeat your duas or your supplications from the beginning of the day right to the end, aren't you going to pass that moment somewhere? Subhanallah. Do you desperately need something? If you do, well, that's how you do it. MashaAllah. May Allah Almighty grant us goodness. Together with that, I said, do you need something desperately? The most important thing that you and I require desperately is simply the forgiveness of Allah. If Allah forgives you, even if you have nothing on earth, you have succeeded. And if Allah has not forgiven you, even if you have everything on earth, you have failed. There are so many people who had nothing. They've passed on into the mercy of Allah. But in this world, they struggled. Look at the companions, radiyallahu anhum. In fact, when we say companions, we must say after that, radiyallahu anhum. What is that? A dua by trillions of people. May Allah be pleased with them. Subhanallah. Look at the acceptance. Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, Umar radiyallahu anhu, Uthman radiyallahu anhu, and the same radiyallahu anhu applies to all of them. How many Muslims have lived on earth from the beginning to now? From the time of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, to now? Trillions. If we are a few billion today, in total we have been trillions over the centuries. Imagine every one of them saying, may Allah be pleased with them. What a dua. What a powerful dua. May Allah Almighty keep us such that after our death, at least our children and grandchildren can say, Rahmatullahi alayhi, when they say our names. Ameen. Meaning, may Allah's mercy be on him or on her when they think of us. So lead your life in a beautiful way. My brothers and sisters, now that I have touched on the issue of taqwa and developing a relationship with Allah, you and I know that moments, or should I say days earlier, we actually heard about, or some may have witnessed, the World Cup football that took place in Qatar. My beloved brothers, my sisters, I don't wish to talk about that, but I wish to draw a beautiful parallel with something far greater and more important in our lives. We have matches with Shaytan every day. He scores and we score. He scores and we scores. He dribbles us and we dribble him. He comes forth and we go forth. We defend, he defends. He tries and we try. And every single day there is a result of your match with him. And what happens? Even if at the beginning of the match he was winning, say for example, 1-0, 2-0. How many teams have come up after that and scored three to make sure it was 3-2, so at the end we won? Subhanallah. Shaytan does this in our lives. Allah Almighty says, on the day of judgment, we weigh your deeds. We weigh them. It doesn't mean you have no bad deeds. You have bad deeds, but you have more good deeds. Look at that. فَمَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ Whoever's good deeds are heavier on that day, they are the ones who are successful. أَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا The Prophet ﷺ says, when you do something bad, follow it up with good so that it is deleted, depleted, wiped out. The good will be heavier and more. People say, what should I do in my life? I've done a lot of bad. The answer is, ask Allah's forgiveness and do a lot of good now. Subhanallah, simple. A person comes to you and says, brother, I've spoken so much of bad about you, forgive me. Well, even if you didn't get a chance to see them, but you started speaking good about them, it will wipe it out. It will wipe it out by the will of Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then what happens? You grow older and you become older, depending on how good you become at tackling shaitan. You get closer or more distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you get yourself used to Salatul Fajr, initially it's not easy. People say, I find it very difficult. It is difficult. If Allah tells you, Raka'ata al-Fajri khayrun min ad-dunya wa ma fiha, the two raka'at, the two units of Fajr Sunnah, are better for you than the whole world and whatever it contains. Do you think that's going to be easy? Do you think it's going to be a walk in the park? Not at all. It's going to be tough to get up from your bed when you know you've only slept 2 hours and you need a bit more sleep because you got to get up to go for work and you got to do this and do that. And you say, well, you know what? The sun rises at 8 and I will get up. And then you don't get up. Subhanallah. You know why? Because it's too valuable. Shaitan comes and massage you at that time. Hey, relax. 2 more minutes. 1 moment. Just snooze it. Let's go. When you know the value of those raka'at and units, wallahi, you will get up before even the alarm rings. But you get used to it. You must train yourself. Look at how the footballers train. Just check them out. I'm not saying it because I'm into it. I'm saying it to draw a parallel for dunya, for worldly successes that don't last more than 4 years. These champs were not crowned for anything more than 4 years. You know that. I know that. If they could put in such a massive effort to kick a ball, what effort am I prepared to put in for the Lord of the worlds? Am I not prepared to get up? They get up and train earlier than we get up for Fajr, don't they? Allah's not saying all of that. He's saying just get up and do your two rakat, salah. Let's go. That's the sunnah. Imagine the farad. And when you get yourself used to something, you won't need a clock. Ask those slightly older or those who are used to it. They tell you know what, 5 minutes before the clock, I got to get up and turn it off. That is the plan, the favor of Allah. Allah created you with a body that gets accustomed to your system. Get up on time, eat on time. Before you know it, you'll already feel this is time for dhuhr. Let's fulfill the dhuhr. I want to tell you something powerful. How many times have we heard the adhan? We've heard it hundreds of times, haven't we? How does it start? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Agreed? That's how it starts. What does it actually mean? And what is it talking about? It is the call to prayer. It starts off by saying, or the statement, Allah is greater. Akbar actually is superlative. It means greater. Allah is greater. Greater than what? Can I tell you? In the context of adhan and the call to prayer, Allah is greater than anything you are doing right now. Drop it and go and pray. That's what it is. Did you hear that? Allah is greater. Allah is greater. That's what the muadhin is telling you. Then what? Then what you are doing right now. So drop it and come to pray. A few moments later, hayya ala salah. Amazing. Amazing. How Allah is telling you. Okay, Allah is greater. Do you bear witness Allah is one? Do you bear witness in Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam being the messenger? In that case, consider Allah greater because you have declared the faith and come to pray, come to success. For indeed, Allah is greater and there is nothing worthy of worship besides Allah. That's the adhan. That's the adhan. So we are reminded and we come towards that which is better because Allah is greater. What do you want? Wealth? Well, stop for a moment, go and pray. Because your wealth, like I said about the 4 years earlier, that the cup will not last more than 4 years. It has to rotate after that. I tell you something. Your wealth in this world will not last more than a few days or years. After that, what happens? The real eternal wealth is that of your deeds, your a'mal. So amass them. Amass them. Do as many good deeds as you can. My brothers, my sisters, we have a holiday 3 or 4 times in the year for different reasons, depending on where you live and what country you come from. I tell you, use the opportunity to do good deeds. Use the opportunity to draw closer to Allah. Many people think, well, you know what? It's a holiday season. I'm going to club and I'm going to the pub and I'm going to do this and do that. Hang on. Are you a believer? Do you consider yourself a person who would like to develop a relationship with Allah? If that's the case, do something constructive. Get the family together because everyone's on leave. And perhaps maybe have a meal, perhaps reach out to them, visit the sick and ill, visit the masjid, meet your brothers, meet your sisters perhaps, and do something good by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such that when you come out of your holiday and you're going back to work, whenever that holiday season comes to an end, you will feel within yourself, I used my time constructively. I did something good. And by the way, to go for a break is not wrong, on condition that you don't miss your salah, on condition that you are dressed appropriately, on condition that you are actually eating that which is halal. There's nothing wrong. I can take my family and go for a break, whether it is to Turkey or to wherever else. It can become an act of worship because I'm taking time to bond with my family, to give them some good words, to help them interact with me so that they can have a good upbringing and so on, to enjoy some of the creation of Allah, to increase my subhanallah. Look at this. Alhamdulillah, Allah's blessed us. MashaAllah, take a look at what Allah's created. All that dhikr comes into fruition. It's a reality. It's an act of worship. But I should not miss my salah in the process. A holiday in Islam is never ever a break from salah. And that's why one of the scholars, when he was asked by a child that, you know, we have a holiday where we don't go to school. Why don't we have a holiday where we don't pray? So the scholar says to him, well, that will happen the day you have a holiday and you don't have to breathe. Subhanallah. So if, for example, you're talking to a child, If, for example, you say, well, have a holiday from breathing, or tell your heart, look, you've been pumping so much, 136,000 times a day. Why don't you just have a break? Can you do that? You can't. Well, our need for our salah and our ibadah and our worship is far greater than the need for the heartbeat. Because when that heartbeat goes, you're still going to return to Allah. But if your ibadah and your worship was not there, what would happen? May Allah Almighty bless every one of us. My brothers, my sisters, I thought I'd share this with you today. Because it's important for us to feel the love of Allah, to feel the connection with Allah. Allah has favored us in ways we will never ever imagine. Allah has blessed you. Think of the favors of Allah upon you. Thank Allah. Make an effort with your family. Do you know the gift of family is chosen by Allah? Your difficult parents, your difficult grandparents, whoever they may be, however difficult they may be, do you know what? That was chosen by Allah. Be kind. Be good. Try and understand them. Try and look. Try and see why they are saying what they are saying. If you have a word or two of guidance, say it in a beautiful way. And Allah Almighty will grant us goodness. Ittaqullah ya ibadallah la'allakum tuflihun. Be conscious of Allah, O worshippers of Allah, in order that you achieve success. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.